Well, we're going to be talking about fruit today, the importance of fruit. You know, if you can imagine a beautiful fruit tree with beautiful fruit on it, that's what you're looking for in nature. And if you can imagine your life, the things that come out of you, the things that God wants to bring out of you, they're beautiful. That's what God's after for us as well. And we're going to be talking about that today. And so this whole thing of this place, I'm going to just start with a question. And the question is, what kind of fruit do you want your life to yield? Yeah. What kind of fruit do you want your life to yield? This thing of yielding is a really great word. It's basically, it's not something you strive for. It means it just comes out of you, right? It's something that just happens because of who you are, right? So what kind of fruit, just think in your mind, think of some words that would describe, this is what I would like my life to be. So thinking about when I'm around my kids, when I'm around my family, when I'm around my coworkers or my students I'm around, or if I'm around, you know, the people at church or my neighbors, or that person doesn't like me or anything, right? A stranger, what do you want to come out of you? I'm guessing some of these things came to your mind. In Galatians, it talks about this place of verses 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't that be good if that just came out of you in all these kind of places that just flowed out of you? And the way it comes out of you, Jesus talks about, is this place that it describes us as the branch. Jesus is the vine, the trunk, and then this branch comes off, that's us. And as we stay connected to Jesus, guess what happens? Who is in Jesus? The life of Jesus comes out of us, and it produces this amazing, and it bears much fruit. Now, you know, for me, you know, as a new Christian, I was like, okay, I've made this choice. Now, is it working? I remember thinking this as a new Christian, and I was thinking, you know, I don't want to just manage my life. I've been reading all these verses, and these verses say that Jesus actually transforms me. He actually comes inside of me, and from the inside out, he literally transforms me. As I connect to him, he comes through me. He changes my life. And so I thought, I wonder if this is really true. And so I think I've told this story before. I got a little cassette recorder, and in my room, and without anybody looking, I would talk for like 30 minutes on everything I believed about the world, God, and myself. And I would just talk. Here's what I think, all my new insights, you know. And then I would hide it so no one could find it because it was very embarrassing if someone found that. And then I would, 6 months later, I would put a mark on there and I'd say 6 months later, and then I'd record myself again. I'd listen to the first one, I'd record the second one. And it was so encouraging because what I realized is I'm actually changing. The person that was 6 months ago is slightly different than the person that was, you know, that is now, right? And so that was so encouraging. Fruit is such a good thing. It's like the payoff, right? And for me, that's where I'm so encouraged. Like, you may not know it or not, but I have lots of Excel sheets with your names on them, you know, with all your names on them. I look at your kids' names, and I use it for a place of praying and processing. I just have this long Excel sheet of different things. I sort you different directions, all kinds of things. But what I do is one time, just recently, I was just thinking about what part of the reason I love looking at your names is because I know so many of you so deeply, and I've watched you over the years, and what's so encouraging is all the fruit I see. The way I've watched people, God transform people, is just so encouraging. I was thinking about a couple people. One is Ryan and Jessica Galloway. I remember when they first came to our church, Ryan avoided me like the plague, right? And Jessica was a little nicer, but I know these guys really well. I mean, well, more than they probably want me to know them, right? But I remember just watching them year after year, and what God has done from the inside out, how God has transformed them. It's just unbelievable, right? Another couple I think about is Lynn and Jeff Calvert. Lynn and Jeff Calvert, who he's playing bass here this morning, they came to our church back when we were still meeting at the school, right? And Jeff had never been in a church before until ours for the first time. And he came from an atheist background in his family, And so, but he had a connection somehow spiritually with God a bit. And so I remember Emmett Parkway with Kyle just being born in his arms, right? And he said, I need to meet. And we met in this office here. We were just renting this place at the time. And he told me, I need to dive in. I want to be baptized and I want to be married. So we went through a process. They got baptized, they got married. And I've watched their life over this period of all these years. And it is just, God has changed them from the inside out. Now, as I think about that, you know, I have hundreds of those stories, literally hundreds of those stories I could tell you from many people I'm looking at right now. It is so encouraging because fruit, real fruit, is what is the payoff. Now, if I ask, actually I have asked, so I know the answer, Jeff and Lynn and Ryan, who, by the way, Ryan and Jessica are out on the patio, which I really think shows the fruit of the spirit of endurance and forbearance. So, if you're listening, yeah, you can write some comment in the chat there. But if I ask them, how is the path of Christianity? Was it easy or has it been hard? And they will say very clearly, it's so much harder than I thought it was, right? But the reason they are on that path and love being on that path is they understand where the path leads them. It leads them to life. It leads them to fruit they couldn't find anywhere else, right? The fruit is the big payoff. When Debbie and I have times in which we see this transformation, we look at each other and say, that's what we signed up for. That's why this is all worth it, right? It's this feeling. I'm not a farmer, but I can imagine what a farmer felt like when he works and works and works, and then walks through his crop and sees this place of grain, right? There's fruit there on the trees or the grain in the field, and he just goes, this is why I worked, right? Now, today we're going to be talking about this, and we're going to be talking about this whole thing of gates and paths and results as we go through this. So I'm going to just read the passage here. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there, or you can on page or on screen. I'm reading out of the ESV. I'm not sure what we have in Slack, but enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered through thorn bushes, figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, sometimes when you imagine Jesus teaching, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, and we think, what would it be like to walk around and what would be the response? And sometimes we think, oh, the inspiration, the presence of God, the lights turning on, the people understanding who God is, and that would be happening. But we have to realize in most of Jesus' teaching, there is very mixed reactions. And this is one of those teachings, I think, that there would probably be some mixed reactions as he's speaking these words, right? We have, you know, what we see in Jesus' teachings, you know, I get kind of upset when you guys frown at me. Jesus had people actually thinking, how can we kill him after this, right? Jesus had places where he would say things, and they were so upset, they would say he was demon-possessed, you know? They had, one time he's teaching his all disciples, and they all just leave. I'm done. I can't. This is too hard to take in. I'm leaving. And the 12 are sitting there and thinking, I think we should leave too, but I don't know where else to go, right? So I think in this we'll find some things, especially for our culture. This is going to be a spot of this teaching. It's like, oh, Do you really mean that, Jesus? But I hope we can go through this and kind of help us understand this. So I just say this is, when you read Scripture, I've been doing this for a long time. I am still rattled by Jesus' words. It never ends, right? But the thing is, we just can't dismiss them or reinterpret them. We have to allow God to say, show me what this means, and allow him to speak to us. So even if you get rattled this morning as we go through this, just ask God, show me what's going on here. Don't disengage. So let's go through this just a little bit. Let's start with, in Matthew 7, starting with verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, right? The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter are many. The gate is narrow. And the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So here we have this thing of talking about gates, and some translations say paths or ways, and then the destination. This place of defining that a little bit, you know, a gate is, it's representing this. It's representing this choice to go a certain way. An inward choice is, this is the way I'm headed. That's what that gate represents. Something you choose. And then you have this place of a path. Once you enter the path, it takes you into this life that you said you wanted, right? This path that you're on. And so there's two gates, there's two paths, and there's two destinations. And it's basically telling us that we have a choice of either one of those two. So when we look at gates, we have to start out with, it's a wide gate. In other words, it's basically saying, there is a way, a gate, and most people are going through this gate. In fact, the implications are, is when you don't decide, you just go to this gate. It's this place that the crowd's going that way, you have the affirmation, the crowd's going that way, I'm going that way. You know, it has the least restraint, right? It's something you can do very easily. It's going with the flow, right? That is the wide gate. And most people are heading through that. And then it goes on to talk about this, what it means by the narrow gate. And it's hard to enter because it's narrow. Now, sometimes I've heard teachings on this, and describing this as, well, kind of giving the impression that you have to do everything right or hold to these particular requirements or things to be able or have some spiritual enlightenment to find this narrow gate. But the reason it's narrow is this. It's not that. The reason it's narrow is the gate is Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's why it's narrow. That's why it goes against our natural instincts. Because if we look at that, we see even in John 10, when he's describing how we get to this abundant life, Jesus says, I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. And then we look a little bit further in John 14, and he's talking, and I love this, as Thomas is really confused with him leaving the earth and saying, how am I going to know the way? And Jesus looks at him and says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, right? No one can come to the Father except through me. And so we look at this, and the reason that it's narrow is because it requires you, it's narrow because you have to trust your life to Jesus. The reason it's narrow is because you have to enter the kingdom of God like a child. Right? And we resist that. That's the way you have to enter. It's narrow because it requires humility and recognizing that my own righteousness is not enough and I need God's righteousness and through Christ. And so, you know, in Luke 13, Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Right? Now, I just want to say to those who are listening that maybe say, I think I'm on the broad path right now. I'm thinking about that, but I would say that's where I'm going. But maybe you've been thinking about Christianity, and what you can feel is, oh my goodness, that would be very restrictive, right? And I know people say, oh, it's not. It kind of is. We're going to talk about this. It's understanding that the reason it's difficult to say yes to that or to even think about committing your life to Jesus, because you're trusting in who Jesus is, and that's fairly narrow. Right? Now, most of you have heard my story a number of times, but I remember having this understanding that I was on the wide path. It was pretty easy. I could kind of create my own standards, and I always seemed to live by the own standards, and when they got to be too hard, I just lowered my standards, and I did better. You know, I could just adjust as I went, and it was pretty easy. I could do what I wanted, and I could choose what I wanted, and I could, you know, I was on the wide path. It was pretty easy. But my life wasn't going really good. I wasn't feeling much life coming into me. So I was considering, I'm thinking about jumping into this Jesus thing, this committing my life to Jesus. But I'm telling you, I knew it was the right path, and it was so hard for me to do. It took me 2 years to make the decision. And I even told my friends, I need to make the decision. I just can't do it, you know. I asked my non-Christian friends to pray for me that I would help. I mean, I was just like having a difficult time because it was such a narrow thing. Now, understanding that, then I entered in, finally, I decided, well, my life is not producing fruit, so I need to try this, right? So I said yes, and so I literally said, I'm in. I'm all the way. So most of you know that story. I committed, fully said, I'm in. I'm committing my life fully to Jesus. I decided this is the path for my life, for life, okay? And so I made that choice. And it led me to this path. And so here I'm now on the other side of the gate. I'm now living out this life I said I want to commit my life to, following Jesus, whatever that meant, which I didn't really know what that meant. And so I committed my life to Jesus about 4:30 in the morning on a Sunday, okay? My brother woke me up at 8:30 and said, let's go to church. And I thought, is this how it starts? Is this my life, right? And so I spent most of the day at church. I remember I was driving home, and all of a sudden, my choice, the path I was on, began hitting me, right? Like, now, let's be honest. How many people who committed to Jesus, there was a point after you said yes to Jesus and committed that way, you thought, what have I got myself into? Have you guys, you know? Yeah. This is my what have I got myself into thing. Because I remember driving along, and I started thinking things like this. I'm on this new path. Does that mean I have to treat girls different than I've ever treated them before? Do I have to ask God who I go out on a date with? I started thinking these kind of things like, it's surely not, right? And then I still smoke at the time. Will he ask me to quit smoking? Oh, my goodness, you know. And I would begin thinking about, do I have to tell my friends? And, I mean, all the things, all the restrictions started just like, oh, my gosh, what have I got myself into? These people, they always have to go read the Bible and go to church all the time. I don't know if I can do that. And then I remembered I'm driving along in a Mach 1 Mustang with a very large engine that I bought a month before, and this terrible thought came to me like, can I even speed? You know, can I do anything? I know with Matt Yules that's a debatable issue, but I kind of had a question about that, right? And what I was experiencing was this place in which I just understood that this is harder than I thought. When I went and told my friends, everyone but one, we lost the relationship. And so I'm thinking, gosh, this is kind of hard. And then we go to the place of destinations. There's two different destinations, the easy and the hard path. The narrow gate and the wide gate. And one's destruction. But the narrow gate, the harder path, even though it has afflictions and some restrictions, it's the one that leads you to life. Now, then Jesus is talking and jumps over to this talks, and I know you could separate these out and teach them as separate, but I think there is continuity between these two, and I'm going to kind of put these together. Then he goes on to say, beware of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So, listen to this. Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but The diseased tree bears bad fruit. The healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can the diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So here we have Jesus starting out saying, I want to give you a warning about the wide gate and the spacious path. It's so easy to go on. It leads to destruction. And now what he's doing, he's explaining. After that, he says, now, I want you to beware of something else. People, many people who are saying these things, and these prophets are saying these things, you have to understand that you beware of them. And here's why. Because here's how you have to see. If their life is not producing fruit, don't listen to them. Now, I think this is just so helpful. And how do we, just, with all the things coming at us, how do we evaluate what we take in and what influences us, right? And so when we look at, as we have people who are trying to influence us, what it tells us to practice, to beware of, is people are saying one thing, but their fruit shows something else. So this is a great understanding of how do you know who should influence you? How do you take the most influence from somebody? The someone who has the most of the fruit of the Spirit. The person who has the love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and not the people who have hate and judgment, a sense of despair, critical, frustrated, short-fused, mean, doing bad things, saying bad things, unreliable, harsh. You know, that's just pretty straightforward. And here's what it talks about, and I think the application that it also shows is directly to us. You know, here's the thing about it is, who we are will be revealed by what fruit our lives yield. Now, this is so rattling to me. It's not what I theologically come up with. It's not what I just tell everybody. It's not what image I project. It's actually what comes out of me. That shows me actually who I am. And so it's this place of understanding our own lives. Now, another way of putting it is, does the fruit of my life, you know, bring life to others? That's just a good way, because whatever is coming out of me is showing me who I am. And here's why I want to tie the two things that Jesus is talking about together. How do you have good fruit coming out of your life? And the only way to have good fruit coming out of your life is to go through the narrow gate and stay on the narrow path. It's hard, right? That's it. This is how it happens. It feels restricted, but it's taking you to life. And so as we look at this, it's this spot in which it talks about in John 15:5, when you go and say, I'm choosing this path for my life, this place of Jesus, and I'm committing my life to him and letting him be the one who leads me, and I don't lead my own life. When I make that choice, it puts me onto this path that's difficult. But in that place of difficulty, here's what happened. You are the vine, and he is the vine, and you're the branches. If you remain in Jesus, and you abide with him, guess what? You bear all kinds of fruit. And that's where it happens. This is where this connects you to the depths of who Jesus is, and it does these things within you that even though sometimes it's hard and it actually has some degrees of conflict in it and difficulty, there's fruit that comes out of it. That's the destination. Now, this is where transformation happens. And the thing about it, I speak this from Scripture, but from my own heart, this is the only way transformation happens. You can send management, you can try to make yourself a good person, you can work hard, you can strive, but if you want life where things actually start coming out of you, this is where it happens. Now, I just want to talk to some of you maybe who are at a spot where maybe you are considering Christianity in a sense like, you know, I talked to Jeff Calvert on the phone, got permission to share what I shared about him earlier, And he said, you know what it was like, David? It's like I hung out with God in the woods a little bit. I kind of had some ideas of who God was. I was trying to be a good person. I had a good opening. I was pretty open to Jesus and God. But it was like I was on a diving board, and I knew I had to dive in and say, I'm committed. I just knew I had to do that before I could, the rest could happen, right? And maybe you're kind of at that point where you have a good, you love Jesus, you kind of understand him, but you kind of know that you're on that wide path. You're still kind of leading your own life. And what I would say is you probably are feeling what this verse talks about. This is so narrow. You know, this feels like it's going to be restrictive. You know, what is that going to mean if I, and all I'd say is that's why it's hard. But what you have to understand is it brings life and it brings fruit and it is such a much better path, right? It's why you go through that gate and say yes to that. But I also want to just say to many of us who have said, I've entered the gate, I'm in. I want to follow Jesus. I just want us to ante up again and say, I recognize this is the path I'm on. And I don't want to fight the things that God is pushing into me on and pressing me in into things. I want to yield to that because I want fruit in my life, right? I mean, we are just in a time right now in our world and in our culture. You know what the world needs? They need a lot of the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us to them. That's what they need. The world needs a lot of kindness, a lot of grace, a lot of God's power. All the things that God wants to, as we connect with him as the trunk and we're this branch and the fruit that comes out is what the world needs, right? And the only way we can provide it if we say, yes, God, and stay on the path and say, I want you to press in. I don't want to try to take the easy way. I want you to do what you want in me. And so the invitation, the worship team can come on up. The invitation I have for us this morning is this, and it's pretty simple. It's just choose the narrow gate and the harder path that leads to life transformation and good fruit. Just keep choosing it, you know? And if you're a brand new person who's kind of just thinking about Christianity or thinking about coming in or you're in that process, it's that choice of going through the gate saying yes. And maybe if you've been a Christian for a long time, you're on it's the point of just recommitting and saying, God, I want to be at a spot where I welcome all that you have for me. And I'm not trying to slip back to an easy path. I want you to do what you want because what I really want is I want life and I want fruit coming out of my life. That's what I really need.